and actually, I always find it challenging when you come to a session like this to think about how you're going to talk about XBRL, and I think that's its inherent difficulty, so that's what the paper tries to get to. There are two things that really I want to get out of today. The first is basically this is partly communication in terms of sharing with you some, in an open way the plans we have for XBRL and the IFRS taxonomy more generally. And the second thing is that we're obviously doing some planning now for our next meeting. We have indicated and the trustees have asked that the IFRS Advisory Council provide some feedback on the taxonomy development and our activities in relation to XBRL. And so in helping to plan for that, I want to sort of put some ideas in front of you, but also get some feedback so that I understand what it is you do want to talk about in, I think, is it June? It must be June, I think, our next meeting. So I'd be really, really appreciative if we could get some ideas towards the end of the session. I suggest as well, perhaps given the nature of this topic, it can be taken in chunks and small pieces. So I'm going to try and work through the sections as we go along, and if there are any issues, maybe if you put your cards up as you go along, we can discuss particular sections as we go. I'm sure Paul will keep an eye out for me for cards raising up, or you can wave them. So let's go back and just reflect a little bit. You've got the paper, agenda paper 4, which I think is relatively comprehensive, but essentially said what I want to do is discuss the role of the ISB Advisory Council in this. And in particular, probably the biggest thing is we know that XBRL, and I'll mention that to develop a couple of these ideas in a minute, but we know that XBRL and the way we develop our taxonomy itself can actually influence financial reporting itself. Okay, and this is it's a common thing that we'll keep coming up with. On the one hand, we have principles-based standards. In our disclosure forum that I'll give you some feedback on a little bit later today, it is very clear that preparers want to tell a story about their financial performance and position. Investors want them to tell that story, but and to do that, it needs a lot of flexibility in terms of presentation. On the other hand, XBRL provides a lot of structure, and it's trying to see where the boundaries meet. In that if you end up with XBRL driving things, you're going to put more structure onto presentation than you actually want. If you're completely unstructured, then people say, well, it's actually really difficult for me to compare things and to do analysis. So there is a place where the two meet. So I want to see what sort of get your feedback on that about what the role of the ISB itself should be. The second thing to think about is I'm going to be asking you to think about the role of the XBRL Advisory Council. So I'll get to in part of the paper. Because we're going to reorient how we think about XBRL and design and think about operating the taxonomy, we think that the questions and the expertise we have in the XBRL Advisory Council might actually change a little bit. And they're going to be meeting next week to discuss the same basic paper in here as well. So I'd like you to think about the role of the XBRL Advisory Council, whether it's and to be, you know, we can be quite frank about this, is it good to continue with that additional advisory council, or should you subsume some of the strategic decisions that they've inherited previously? And I think those are open questions we should think about. And then there's this ongoing debate, which I think we should think about in June as well. Again, back to should we allow an entity to tell a story, or should we structure data? Okay, so I think that's something we haven't discussed a lot, and I was going to do it later in the paper. I'll say it now. I always smile when I think, for those of you who have been here long enough, we asked that question about 3 years ago. We actually had a disclosure and XBRL session. I'd asked the question that 3 or 4 years ago about whether or not form mattered, in other words, the way things are presented. And it was almost to a person in the IFRS Advisory Council said, the way the information is presented is very important because it shows what an entity thinks is important. In other words, they're telling a story. I went to the XBRL Advisory Council not long after and asked them the exact same question. And to a person, they said no. It's the data that's important because you can go and pull the parts and put things together in a different way. And to me, that says a lot because we have two quite different views and it's trying to reconcile the two that we're talking about here. So This is a paper that went to the trustees in January. The trustees were supportive. The history and the reason it went in January is that for the first 10 years of its history, essentially, the XBRL was run as a sort of a parallel or separate thread. In a sense, it was almost isolated from a lot of our standard-setting activities. As a result, its reporting was directly to the trustees, and what the trustees asked us to do was to try and bring XBRL more closely aligned with technical. So we actually did that, and for the last year, the XBRL team reported directly within the technical team. They're considered to be part of the technical staff, but we haven't really brought the two processes together. Partly through, I'm a little nervous to do that until we've thought through all the consequences as well, like the issue about structure versus telling a story. So what I want to do is give you, trustees asked us to incorporate it. I want to give you a little background about where we've got to over the last 10 years or so, because essentially when we first established this in 10 years, let's go back. The objective of the ISB and the objective of XBRL, okay, I want to talk about both of those. The objective of the ISB is we develop high-quality financial reporting standards. Okay, we're trying to provide information that helps investors. The objective of the XBRL function within the foundation has been to develop a taxonomy that captures or reflects the standards that we create. Okay, so they are supposed to capture our standards using the technology XBRL. The way I see that is that the ISB develops standards that tell people what they should report and how they should measure it, whereas XBRL is more concerned with delivering the form of that. In other words, how might you disseminate that information, in this case, in an electronic form as opposed to a printed type of form. But essentially, I've always seen XBRL as being... it should be influenced and should follow IFRS standards because its objective initially was always to capture and only IFRSs. So if you looked at our book of standards and looked at all the disclosure requirements, those are the things you should see captured in a taxonomy that reflects XBRL for us. It doesn't go beyond that. Over the last few years, we've actually expanded that scope slightly because as well as capturing what I would call the black letter or the required disclosures, we've had a look at things called common practice elements. In other words, we've tried to expand the number of things that we capture in our taxonomy beyond just the specific things in the book. They also look at very common practice things. The most common one to talk about is property, plant and equipment. In our standard IS16, we only talk about a requirement to disclose for each class of property, plant and equipment the following items. So we've now developed common practice elements that pick up things arguably like, you know, computer equipment or office equipment and things like that, where we've got specified types of property, plant and equipment. So they are called common practice elements. And you'll see if you'll have a look through financial statements, there are, I haven't got a list of other things in here, but there are lots of other things you'll see are commonly talked about or disclosed by banks or by other specific industries or even just by normal, run-of-the-mill or average companies reporting. And so if they're reported quite consistently, then we can add those things as what we call common practice elements. So we have actually expanded it slightly. Now, in many ways, the XBRL team has done exactly what we've asked it to do for the last 10 years. They've delivered what's perceived to be a high-quality taxonomy. They've achieved their mission. And they can consistently produce, the last one's about to be finalised, but they consistently produce a high-quality taxonomy. Okay, that's the good news. But then if you say, well, is that achieving its objectives, you actually have to ask, what's the taxonomy for? And the difficulties I've gotten, you'll see on page 5, is I think it's fair to say that the board itself, the ISB, has not collectively bought into XBRL. You've got quite a variety of views on amongst the members. Some see this as being essential to a good financial reporting. Others don't see much merit at all in pursuing the taxonomy, and others just aren't sure because they're not quite, they don't believe they've got enough information to reach a conclusion. although the taxonomy is used by regulators, you know, you're going to get a session, I think, next from Sonia about what does adoption of IFRS mean, we have exactly the same issue with the taxonomy, in that there are some jurisdictions that have adopted our taxonomy, but then operationalise that by taking our, 3,000 whatever elements and putting a spreadsheet together with several hundred very important figures, and they bring those in, but that's all they'd adopt. And others, they extend it in particular ways. We have to document and see what people are doing in terms of the taxonomy. So same issues, as I say, as we have for IFRS adoption. Probably even worse is the uptake by individual investors. Now, we know that XBRL instances, as they're called in the US, where mandatory filing takes place, a lot of the intermediary companies, the data processing companies that will actually take in some XBRL data, but then they do their special thing with it. They standardise it in their own particular way, they adjust it, and then people access that data. The number of people actually consuming XBRL instances, investors directly, is close to zero. The latest survey I saw through Columbia University's, one of the research institutes, was basically uptake was close to zero. We know that about 5% of investors are interested and look at XBRL data, but that's still a very low level of uptake. That's on the investor side. On the preparer side, people have heard me say this before. I've spoken twice now at the ISCPA conference at the in December in Washington, and listened to the XBRL discussions, and there's this groan just goes right across the floor. This is a big conference with several thousand people, and there's this audible groan when they talk about XBRL. And the type of questions they ask are, can you give us longer to file these instances? You know, in other words, to file the electronic form. So we're quite happy to file our annual report, you know, today, but can you give us another couple of months to get the electronic one? Well, that's completely against the whole philosophy of XBRL. It's supposed to be better and faster, in other words, at the same time. So there doesn't seem to be strong buy-in from preparers who see this as being a real benefit. Certainly some do. We've got some very good cases where people see this as being very beneficial, but I think it's fair to say that it's not been widely bought into. And then the last one for us is that the SEC has not endorsed the IFRS taxonomy for foreign filers. There's actually a requirement in the US for foreign registrants to file their financial information using XBRL, but because the SEC has not put an approved taxonomy on its, made it that available and endorsed it, then there is no basis for filing. So there is, at the moment, a foreign filer cannot file XBRL in the US. So those are concerns. Okay, we're doing all this work, spending quite a lot of money, putting a lot of energy into this, and yet, you know, if you want to think about it very negatively, and I think about it positively, actually, our board's not bought into it, the users aren't really using it, the preparers don't like it, and the regulators, we don't know absolutely what they're doing. So we're in a great position where we can make some significant improvements, I think. And that's what this is about. It's about saying, well, is this actually a worthwhile journey? Should we be putting more into XBRL? You know, we could walk away from this whole process, or we could actually turn this into something more positive. And so what we're doing is we're going to try and have an 18-month push in this. We'll review where we are in 18 months. But you'll see on page 7, we want to see that there's actually a demonstrable increase in interest, not necessarily uptake from users. We would want to have ensure that if regulators are actually telling us that they want to have electronic reporting, that they are using our taxonomy as we issue it, not adapted, not changed, but they're actually picking it up. And we want to see a demonstrable improvement of the perception that preparers have of electronic filing. In other words, they're starting to embrace it. And ultimately, as well, endorsement by the SEC. So there are our goals. So no cards yet. So let's have a look. Oh, that was... I shouldn't have spoken.
Yeah, I think we may as well take them as we go along, and popping up all over the place. Let's start with Anne.
Look, congratulations, Alan, for grappling with the issues of XBRL. For one who started with XBRL, would you believe, in 1998, I would suggest you have got to the nub of the nub of the problem. I don't think at this stage the IFRS can walk away from XBRL. If you like, I think in the development of XBRL, as I observe it, it's gone down into a level of detail, level of detail, level of detail, without solving some of the strategic issues. And this is where you are at this point in time. For me, XBRL is an absolute no-brainer. It might take time before it's fed into the SAPs of the world, and we have our friends here from SAP. At the end of the day, it is a no-brainer. It will happen. So I don't want the IFRS to be giving up its activity in this just yet. I believe if you lose control of the IFRS taxonomy, you lose control of the application of your standards in the future, not so much now, but in the future. So I do support you with your 18-month push, but I'm not sure that 18 months would be sufficient. I would like to just suggest that there's a lack of knowledge out there of really what XBRL can do for people. I was one who worked with Reuters here in the UK on the first pilot here in the UK. They were amazed at what it could be done with it in a very small way. I think there is an XBRL knowledge problem, and certainly when you go to the markets where I'm currently working out in Asia, they don't know what those four letters mean. But please don't give up the ghost now. Continue with your work. And I think there may need to be an education program on XBRL. If you say many of the board and haven't bought into it, maybe they don't sufficiently know the advantage of what could be.
Bruce.
Yeah, I'd like to respectfully disagree with my learned colleague. my involvement with XBRL goes back, I don't know if Mark Vassen maybe remembers, back to 2001, where I was part of the group who wrote the original taxonomy. We've been waiting for this to break since then. This has been going a long, long time. And I guess my concern is that if I had to look at what the ISB needs to do, this really is kind of way at the bottom of my list. I think it's important to be involved, so I do agree with Anne. I think it's important to be involved, but to me the value of this is really with respect for people like the software manufacturers, for the regulators. It's not something that the ISB themselves are directly going to benefit from. I am concerned that this really is just another way that people can take information apart, produce additional reports that are not necessarily IFRS compliant. My concern is that I think that with everything that's on the agenda at the moment, I would think it's good for the ISB to be involved, but my argument would be I don't think they should necessarily be taking the lead on it.
Riaz. I think we'll get the points of view out, and Alan, you can reflect and react afterwards.
I first heard about XBRL 15 years ago when I was on the old IAC board, and one of the things that was touted about XBRL was that, you know, if you have XBRL, you know, I can produce US GAAP accounts, I can use IFRS accounts, I can use Indian GAAP or whatever, any GAAP you want at the press of a button. I'm just wondering now that we're going towards trying to create a single global language, that attraction of XBRL no longer holds for me. I don't know. I would tend to agree with Bruce whether, to my mind, I'm not sure whether the ISB should spend as much time, continue to be involved to know what's happening, but I don't know whether we should put a lot of boat and other effort into XBRL.
All right. Julie, I think.
Sorry. Yes, thank you. Just a couple comments since the SEC is mentioned in the paper and Alan listed it as one of kind of the goals. I mean, a broad comment is as securities regulators, in thinking about issuer disclosure, a method of delivery is an important aspect of that. In other words, when we write disclosure regulation, it isn't always about content. I mean, obviously content is critical, be it financial statement content or non-financial statement content. But we also are equally concerned that the good content be accessible and delivered in a way that is useful. So the whole area of delivery is not a stepchild to issuer disclosure. I think it's, to a regulator, it's an integral part of thinking about how information is given to investors. Whether that means the foundation and the board should spend a little time or a lot of time, you know, I'm not sure. That's probably a relative test to their competing needs. But I just would say that delivery is important to a regulator. It's not a stepchild in the process or a stepchild to content. The second point is more SEC specific. I mean, I would say as a staff, we're supportive of directionally what is described in this paper. Although, as is always the case with the SEC, we can't, you know, guarantee an outcome that if you do this, we'll be satisfied and make a recommendation. But it seems a progressive step forward, assuming the decision to spend the resources has been made. So we're supportive of the various steps that the paper outlined.
Rioso.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Japan was the first to make the XBRL-based electronic disclosure available to investors, and our current system accommodates not just JGAAP-based taxonomy, but also IFRS taxonomy as well. I have a question. I understood that Alan was mentioning about potential conflict between the flexibility needed to tell a story and the structured nature of the taxonomy. But I have some difficulty in visualizing the trade-off between the two. Would that mean taxonomy for financial statements hinder preparer telling story in the financial statement side? Or do you intend to cover MD&A by taxonomy and that would hinder a preparer telling story? What is the exact nature of the conflict between the two requirements? Thank you.
And, won't ignore your question, but let's get Charles' point of view out first and then we'll have Alan come back. Charles?
Alan, I've got two observations. One relates to the lack of uptake, and I'm very much in Anne's camp. I'm sort of reminded of a law which I think was first stated by Bill Gates, that often with new technologies it takes much, much longer for it to be taken up. But once it's taken up, it has a much greater impact than one imagined even at the start of the development of the new technology. And I've sort of seen that in the retail space in Australia, where 7 or 8 years ago many retailers went tried to develop online capabilities. The take-up was very poor. They dropped it, and now they're all playing catch-up as online is really starting to eat their lunch. And I think electronic filing and reporting is very much the way of the future. For example, in Australia, all business reporting to government is now done electronically, and gradually over time that will simplify the plethora of data that governments collect for quite different purposes, often collecting the same information. So there will be a huge opportunity for efficiencies. The other observation I'd make relates to one of your earlier points, namely the structure of the data. Does it matter versus telling a story? I think at the end of the day, data is just that. It is data. And typically, financial data is backward-looking, whereas the story that investors really want or need is something that is forward-looking. And I'm reminded of the current status of reporting on executive compensation, which is sort of increasingly mandated, often via corporate law rather than just accounting standards. And the main observation that investors would make is that companies are very good at telling the what and the how, which is typically what is prescribed, well, that's the standard, if you like, but they're not so good at telling the why, which is the narrative, if you like. And so I'm very much in the camp that the data is the data. It has some relevance in terms of its structure, but ultimately the story has to be told explaining the why, using the remuneration reporting as a metaphor, using narrative that reflects the insight of the reporting entity.
Christoph.
Well, I'm even going a bit further back than Charles does with quoting Bill Gates. German Emperor William said in 1905, "I think the automobile is a temporary phenomenon. I bet on the horse." And I truly think that we got a similar phenomenon here. It is the investors. XBRL is only useful once the investors have it from many, if not all, companies, because the advantage is comparing. And it's not that intra-gap comparing. It is really picking numbers out without thumbing through the report. I simply don't believe that in 10 or 15 years from now, people will continue to get a report either in hard copy or PDF, then manually pick numbers out to maybe put them into some other system manually. That is a process that is so complicated and so contra what technology can do that I doubt that it will survive. Certainly, XBRL as it currently stands is difficult to handle. It's difficult to handle particularly on the side of investors. Software tools that support investors in leveraging XBRL data is still in a very early stage. Technology on the side of the preparers may be a bit further progressed, but it's still at the end of the process. So if companies do it, they do all their financials, and finally when they're done, sometimes even after they prepared the traditional copies, then they go for XBRL, although the big benefit will lie as soon as they go and embed it in the production of the financial rather than viewing it only as an output method. The scenario that in a few years XBRL has become big, as the automobile did, but the taxonomy being owned by someone else than the ISB or the foundation sounds very weird to me too. And that's why I think the ISB needs to stick to it, because otherwise someone else will do it. XBRL is nothing that's nowhere. I mean, if you see jurisdictions on the tax side, they're going forward. So in Germany, all companies from next year on need to file all tax declarations in XBRL. So it is, we heard it from Japan, it is there, it is growing. And that's why I think if the ISB doesn't do it, someone else will need to. Or different regulators will do their own taxonomies. And then we've got a global standard with local output, which I doubt would be very useful. I agree with Anne that the 18-month timeline you put for yourself may be a bit short.
Francoise, a quick point.
Yeah, thank you. I don't have strong views either way on who should do what and how. And must say that the plan that Alan has put down, I mean, seems to be current and heading into the right direction. The only point I would like to make is that out of the work that we've been doing on the disclosure framework or disclosures in general and that we're going to discuss later on today, I mean, the motto that has come out of this work is that basically people should be invited into a communication exercise and not a compliance exercise. And so I think that taking care of the ability to deliver information electronically is certainly something to be done. However, it should not lead the ISB into over-standardizing the way the information should be reported. And maybe, in fact, putting that under the responsibility, direct responsibility of the ISB is the way to strike the right balance, I don't know. But I think I'm more interested, in fact, into how this is going to be done, what are the premises going to be and for the ISP, how they're going to direct their responsibility in doing that to avoid over-standardization.
Alan, over to you.
That was a mistake, wasn't it? You can see how challenging this is going to be. I'm going to try and address some of the issues as we go on. What I want to do is go back through the paper, but if Reyes had swapped with Saichi, we'd have three people in a row, almost like diametric and different views, plus also different perception, I think. Reyes, you talked about how XBRL was there to so you could actually generate and take some basic data and then produce US GAAP or some IFRS or some other GAAP from that. And I've been at conferences where they've talked about that going down to XBRL GL level or general ledger level to actually tag all this stuff and do that. But this is going to be challenging. So let me talk about a couple of things here. Francois, I think, quite appropriately talked about, and it's a characterisation I often use, is financial reports are about a lot of it's about communication, and a lot of people see XBRL as more about compliance, and that's that tension between there. And I hope I can demonstrate a couple of where those tensions exist. But I think today we actually already have a risk that the ISB faces, because the IFRS Foundation, people outside this room and people looking at anything that comes out of the IFRS Foundation, don't sit there and say, well, that came out of the Education Division or the IFRS Foundation. This came through the board, and therefore they're completely different. They associate them all with our organisation as a whole. So we currently today have any risk. So if there is a risk that the XBRL taxonomy and the way we create the taxonomy is shaping financial reporting, in other words, like you add an element into the taxonomy, is there an implication that you have to use that particular characterisation when you do your disclosures? That risk exists today. And so I've taken the premise that if we have that risk today, then the ISB itself as a board is better off owning it and actually trying to manage that risk itself. Now, to get there, it's a difficult road, because XBRL is inherently, technically, quite a difficult process. I use in the paper the analogy of HTML, in that you don't have to be an HTML programmer in order to think about what a web page should look like. You can actually think about the web page more generally. And similarly, the ISB need not understand all the nuances of XBRL and how these particular link bases work and so on, and how the naming protocols work with camel case and all those sorts of things. You shouldn't need to know that to think about how information should be structured and what the limits are on structuring it. And so really the idea is to separate, just like in HTML, if you're having somebody think about what a good web page looks like, and I like to think that when we designed the new project pages for the ISB, we just sat down there and thought, what information, what do we want to look at? How much structure, what are logical things to group together? None of us actually sat there and thought about the HTML coding. And I want the ISB to be in the same sort of position. When you think about, and Julie's absolutely right too, about it's not just what you do report, but we know from disclosure requirements around the world that quick dissemination and quick access to information, in other words, how it's reported, is very, very important as well. So that's why regulators are constantly looking at ways to improve access to financial information that's relevant for pricing in particular. And so what we're trying to do is to get the board to think more carefully about how the information, if a regulator wants to make it accessible electronically, that we help facilitate that process. In other words, we help map from our IFRS requirements into an electronic form. Okay, as I say, to do that, I think we should demystify it, because even listening to some of the comments around the table today, people have different perceptions of what XBRL is all about, how it might be used, and so on. And the best thing to do, I think, is to start to take some of the debates, and Olivia and his team have got some really good examples of good access tools to XBRL and the types of things you can do, but we need to make that far more accessible to people, so that we can sit here and actually have a debate about the taxonomy and not get tied up in the debate about the technology that drives it. So that's the main split that we're looking at doing. Now, as I said, to do that, we've got to have to do some visual things, even within our own, within the organisation. We don't want to portray the XBRL team as being this little group in a silo on the side. you know, everything we do in terms of even our website, we're going to try and assimilate that into the mainstream of standard setting. I think the question was raised a couple of minutes ago about what is it that we would ask our board to do, because I think probably the most fundamental thing we want to do is to say, look, this is we develop disclosure requirements, and I've just read the regulated ones this morning. So they're the disclosure requirements. What's the objective? How do we anticipate or envision somebody presenting that information so I can actually see what it's like? Then the next question is, if that had to be filed electronically, how would you expect that to be captured in an electronic form? And what we have in mind is to take an existing standard, something like investment properties, which is a recently completed one. It's nice, fairly constrained, but what it does, and actually put together the documentation that we would ask our board to approve if they were being asked to look at the taxonomy approval. Okay, in other words, go back and reverse engineer one. And that's the type of thing that we thought we could bring along to... we've got to be careful we don't get into too much technical here, but it might be a good way for you to see the types of questions we've been asking our board and therefore what they've been asked to actually endorse or approve at a standards level. And in a way, it's not... I don't see it much different to... At the moment, we have illustrative examples to show how you might present information in tabular format, for example, IFRS 7, our financial instruments disclosure requirements. We have some examples of what we think good reporting is. All we'd be doing is doing that and extending it to say this is how we capture an electronic form. So that's the basic idea. Before we do that, I think the other thing we have to think about is how investors either should use it or do use the information. And you know, Charles mentioned data is data. I want to tease out three different ways you can think about investors using XBRL captured data. One is, I guess, the extreme, which is all the data mining type issue. In the US, my understanding is that the SEC requires that any item that you present that is a number must have a tag on it. You have to describe that has to have an element tag. And essentially, you theoretically can go and just data mine through all this data. That's all it is. So that's one view of the world. And I like to keep in mind as well, if anybody's looked at the Financial Stability Board, they've got some very interesting tables that they think should be presented by financial institutions that summarise some of their exposure to financial instruments. Now, if you were tagging that, what that means is that you'd actually have to put a separate element label on every single cell in a table, and then you can go and data mine it. Okay, so that's one kind of view. The second is more of a case of when an investor or an analyst is actually running a model with a spreadsheet. And I used to have long conversations with some analysts who would do this. They'd be sitting there saying, right, I have my spreadsheet, and essentially the financial statements come out, they'd have 3 hours to make a recommendation for a decision, they'd spend 2 hours flipping through the pages and then punching as quickly as they could the numbers into their spreadsheet cells. And then they'd spend an hour at most analysing it and going through a few scenarios to come up with a recommendation. Now what those people wanted was not the thousands of numbers and data mining and looking at relationships. They wanted, for example, 150 or 100 or 20 numbers that were in a financial report that they knew each year the company would report. They wanted them to feed up automatically into their spreadsheet. So they actually spent 3 hours thinking about it, not 2 hours trying to capture it and not make mistakes when they enter the numbers. Okay, so that's another potential purpose. And the other was a bit of a mix between the two. I think of, give an example where numbers by themselves aren't particularly helpful. I could have a note on contingent liabilities, and I can give you a number of 6 million. Doesn't mean anything. What's important is what that contingent liability relates to. And so I can imagine somebody having access to the data and saying, I'd like to see any contingent liabilities that are 25% or more of my total equity, and I want to get them on screen. The number 6 million doesn't mean anything. What's important is all the words and the sentences around that that explains what that contingent liability is in there for. In other words, you can use that to sort of exceptional reporting. And just to extend that, one more example. Financial Stability Board has done some excellent work with their disclosure project on these tables. And as I said, one way you could actually capture data electronically is to try and have a unique label or tag for every single number in a cell on a table. Or you could tag the whole table, and if you wanted to look at it, you'd bring the whole table up. And we have to work out whether analysts actually want to have every single cell tagged. There are some real costs associated with that and also consistency, or whether they just want to find that table. In other words, they're monitoring 10 different banks, the reports have come out, and they just want to grab that table. Can they go and grab it and just flick through the screens and have a look and compare the two together? We have to ask basic questions about, is it data mining that's the most important thing, or is it more contextual reporting and just easier access to the information? And that's something I think we need to do quite quickly. And there's always this dilemma about what are investors doing today, what do they want to do? And so we've got to try and work out, I think, to deliver what the information in the way that they would actually like to receive it. And they're quite fundamental things. You know, Ray raised the issue about you'd actually have to go down to all the data and then have tagged against that all the different ways of doing the calculations to be able to generate different types of GAAP numbers. I've never seen XBRL as being for that purpose. I'm more in the camp of saying, I'm sitting here as an investor in the US or in the UK. I invest in telcos. I want to go and look at a Korean telco, a Japanese telco, an Australian, a New Zealand, an English, and one from France. I can actually go and pick those electronic reports out of all those different exchanges or the different regulatory websites. I can look on a screen, and I know that they called this thing, revenue or whatever it is, you know, any sort of cost. They actually have the same tag for that same number, so I can actually flick through electronically on my screen and look through those things. And I've been in that camp. So I'd be interested in if any thoughts on that, but that's the type of thing we have to get a lot more feedback on. Otherwise, you can't design a taxonomy if you don't understand how it ought to be used. No signs again? Was that a sign to put signs
on? You've covered a lot of territory, Helen, and I'm conscious of time. Yeah. This is too important a topic to rush. It also raised the question of our role as an advisory council relative to the XBRL advisory council, which is an important one, but not one that I would feel comfortable wading into and expressing a view, even on a preliminary basis, without more background. So,
what I can suggest then is that, as I said at the beginning of the session, what would be very helpful is to think about what you would like to see when we start to discuss this again later this year, in that would you like to start to see things like the demonstration of the type of power that XBRL has? In other words, we can give you sort of an online demonstration of that sort of thing, as well as thinking about the types of issues that we would raise with the board, and also this whole debate about data versus communication versus compliance. Those are three common threads that I think come up quite often.
Well, I think I might even step it up a level in terms of the strategy to make this succeed. I'd be interested in a discussion of that sort of issue amongst the council members. It's as a former securities regulator, former standards setter, former a lot of things, I don't think any amount of effort by the IASB or a standard setting organization is going to make this thing succeed. It's going to require widespread support, and it's going to require a pull as well as a push. And it's those sorts of issues that I think are integral to the success of the ultimate achievement of your goal, or the achievement of your ultimate goal. Several people, I think, have said the plan seems directionally right. Some say it's not clear who should do what. Some saying 18 months isn't likely to be nearly enough to achieve it. So I'm wondering if we shouldn't put this back to our agenda committee as a priority item. This has been on council's list rate, as long as I've been involved in the council, one of our earliest sessions. We've had Olivier with us a number of times. One of the initial concerns was there was a huge effort, largely based in the U.S., and there was an IFRS taxonomy. They seemed to be on different paths. That wasn't particularly good. So we've been at this a while, and my sense is every time we've discussed it, we certainly have not dismissed it. We may have underappreciated its ultimate benefits, but I'm wondering if that is about as far as we can take it for today. If there are any comments or suggestions that people want to offer now, otherwise, my suggestion is I'll refer it to the agenda committee as a priority item, and we can talk to you in terms of the appropriate timing, whether we bring it back in June or, if not, October. But my sense would be to bring it back sooner rather than later to try and sustain the momentum that you're putting behind it. Is that agreeable to members, that it, that we see this as an important issue for us and one that we would want to spend some agenda time on at the earliest opportunity? And sorry, I didn't mean to preempt you. Is there anything you'd like to add by way of closing? Certainly rekindled our interest. So. Maybe one of those things of be careful what you wish for, but we'll... All right, we're going to move on at this stage and deal with the survey of IFRS around the world. Yale and Sonia have kindly hustled over. You may recall that yesterday when Michelle Prado was giving his update on activities of the trustees, one of the things that he had noted was that the Constitution